1 Corinthians chapter 1, and this is the message version, and the colors are on purpose. I, Paul, have been called and sent by Jesus, the Messiah, according to God's plan. Along with my friend Sosthenes, I send this letter to you in God's church at Corinth. Christians cleaned up by Jesus and set apart for a God-filled life. I include in my greetings all who call out to Jesus, that's us, wherever they live. He's their master as well as ours. May all the gifts and benefits that come from God our Father and the Master, Jesus Christ, be yours. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. Just think, you don't need a thing. You got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. So God has a plan for your life. First colored, underlined, God's plan. Saul was a Pharisee, but God had another plan for his life. So sometimes you can be going in one direction and God will take you in another one. Amen? On the road to the city of Damascus to persecute the disciples of Jesus, Saul encountered the living God. That will change your life. Jesus appeared to him. Jesus spoke to him. And Jesus revealed the plan that God had for his life. Saul, the persecutor, became a believer, then became a leader, and then became the writer of almost half of the New Testament. You know him as Paul. Well, God has a plan for your life as well, for everybody's life. Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you. You can underline that. He knows them. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. They're always good plans. They're not easy, but they're good. God has a plan for New Hope Christian Church. We are a community of disciples, loving Jesus with our whole heart, passionate in his cause, passionate for the kingdom. And he doesn't keep the plans for your life or for the church a secret. The Holy Spirit reveals to them, all of them to us, one step at a time. That's the problem. He'll speak to us as a still small voice. God whispers, God never yells. He'll speak to us through our Bible reading, our Bible study time. He'll speak to us through prophecy. And he'll give us a brief picture of the plan. But he only reveals the details as you need to know them. And the reason for that is you have to walk by faith. And if you knew all the details, you wouldn't be walking by faith. You'd be walking through knowledge. And you'd probably do what I would do, which is organize it. And he didn't need your help to organize his plan. He has it planned out. And the fullness of his plan for your life will always include walking with others and building solid, in-depth, real, vulnerable, transparent relationships. You can't be a Christian by yourself. So it says, Paul called, along with my friend Sosthenes. See, he's got a team. Jesus had 120. Jesus had 70. Jesus had 12. He sent these people out two at a time. Jesus understood the concept of team. Paul always worked in a team. You can't find him by himself. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Sosthenes, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus. We keep going. He always had a team. Paul and John Mark and Barnabas together. You can't be a disciple of Jesus and be isolated from other people. There's no such thing as a solo Christian. You have to have quality, in-depth relationships in the church.
Amen.
Thank you. Do you know how many born-again Christians don't go to churches? Too many of them. And those who do go to churches are not always connected with other people in the church. A Christian cannot survive if not connected to the church, the local church. A Christian cannot fulfill God's plan for their life unless they're connected to a local church. That doesn't mean just attending. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 12 about the member of the body. Verse 25, the way God designed our bodies, our physical bodies, is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. So each one of us has a role to play in the body called New Hope. You have a plan that God will give you for your life. We have a plan that God has given us for the life of the church. And it cannot be fulfilled unless you fulfill the plan God has for your life. And if you're not planted in the local church, then go find a church to get planted in. Every Christian must know God put them in this church. Because God places each member in the body. So a true disciple of Jesus is in quality relationships with other Christians. That's not comfortable for most people today. They want to be independent. And God wants us to be interdependent. Paul writes and says that this letter he's writing, 1 Corinthians, is to God's church at Corinth. That's an interesting comment. In Bible days, there was only one church in a city. It may meet in various places and in small houses. And then it would come together every once in a while as a larger group to celebrate God's goodness. But there was, in their understanding, only one church in every city. There was not the United Church and the Anglican Church and the Baptist Church and the Pentecostal Church and Church of God Church. There was one church. And so he's writing to God's church in the city of Corinth. Many different expressions scattered throughout the city, and Corinth had a large population of 200,000 people. God's church in the town of Oxbow, in the area of Souris River. We should be one. The problem is we are not. We have been divided through teachings, doctrines, understanding, misunderstandings. Coming down here this afternoon, I was listening to the BBC. And on the BBC, they were interviewing a United Church pastor in Toronto who is an open, avowed atheist. And the interview was for 25 minutes trying to figure out how you can be an ordained church pastor and be an atheist. It's very interesting how they twisted it to make it work. But even she is not being welcomed shortly in her denomination. There is now a heresy trial going on. But she's not alone. There are many atheist pastors in churches today. So we have problems just being a church, the church of Jesus Christ. The church was God's idea. That was a good place to say amen. Matthew 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word church in the Greek, I wrote it there for you, ecclesia, comes from two Greek words. First one is just assembly, like parliament or rider nation when we're having a game. And the second one is God's called out ones. So the church from the very beginning was understood to be the called out ones by God, called out from the way of the world to live as his people under the authority of Jesus in the world. You're not called out from the world to live different than the world, so different that nobody's even going to notice that you have a faith. They're just going to think you're weird, wacko, and wonderful. You're called out from the world so that you come under the authority and rulership of Jesus, so that you can be sent back into the world and fulfill the purpose, the plan of God for the church. The church's purpose in Corinth and in Oxbow, two purposes. First off, you gather together to be encouraged and equipped, not to sit down and be taught. You come together to be encouraged and equipped so that you know how to do ministry, so that you know how to walk in the supernatural, you know how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit that we believe in. And then after you're gathered to be encouraged and equipped each week, you are scattered to go into your community to tell others of the gospel of the kingdom and God's love. That's the purpose. Somehow we've messed that up. We think the purpose is to come and sit and get filled with God's word and get the understanding from the expert up front and then go home and live like everybody else lives. All that makes is a bunch of fat, out-of-shape Christians. So the church, designed by God, has a purpose, and that's to gather together to be encouraged and equipped, and then to scatter to tell others of the gospel of the kingdom. Paul went on to say that we were called Christians by that time, cleaned up by Jesus, set apart for a God-filled life. Wow. There's a handful. Have you been cleaned up by Jesus? No, not discovered. Christians hate. Christians have prejudices. Christians don't accept. Christians judge. Christians reject. Gee, the Bible says we're cleaned up by Jesus. That's the way the world lives. And if we're being set apart by God for a God-filled life, so to be a Christian, to be a disciple or a believer, first off, you have to believe in Jesus. There's a novelty. There's a pastor in America who wrote a book called The Christian Atheist. If you haven't read it, it's worth reading. His thesis of the book, and he has one of the biggest churches in America, it's up to, well, it's not even worth the size of the church. If you have the YouVersion Bible on your phone, that's his church. They give it away. There's a billion people on that Bible app on a regular basis. Big churches that he has. Here's what he found out. That he believes in Jesus Christ. He believes in God. But he lives like God doesn't exist. That's not living a God-filled life. Believing is more than having a head knowledge of who Jesus is. It means totally trusting him with your heart. Do you trust your credit cards or do you trust Jesus? Do you trust your opinion or do you trust Jesus? That's what he's saying, that we've been cleaned up by Jesus and set apart for God-filled living. So when we believe, that's a heart issue, but then you have to follow Jesus, have a God-filled life, and that means your head and your hand have to be involved in your Christian faith. You're going to learn how to do things and why, and then go do them. Because if all you've got is information, belief, then you're not living a God-filled life. The purpose of the church is to equip you in how to do things and then why you do things so that you can go out and live a God-filled life in your community and actually do things. Ephesians 4:12 says that the purpose of the church is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Instead, you have paid us to do the work. That's how it works. And it's not biblical. So Peter the apostle stated it this way. You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, that's ministry, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. You've gone from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Wow. So a God-filled life will speak out and tell others the night and day difference God has made. Of course, if you don't live like he's made a difference, then don't talk. Because people will notice that your walk and your talk don't line up, and that's called hypocrisy. Okay, Paul goes on to say, may all the gifts, circle gifts, and the benefits, circle benefits, that come from God our Father and the Master, Lord Jesus Christ, be yours. The gifts, I hope I wrote them in there for you. There are three sets of gifts in the Bible. First one is what we call motivational gifts. That's the way God wired you, what your hot buttons are, what you're interested in doing. And that's found in Romans 12. If you'd asked my oldest daughter when she was 7 what she wanted to do when she grew up, she would tell you she wanted to go to Africa and work there. And she even knows the country. I've forgotten it now. So what is she doing? She's a registered nurse. She's a specialist. And once her children are a little older, they're moving to Africa. Because she's always known what her hot buttons are. The daughter that works for me, her hot buttons have always been sexually abused women and street kids. Part of her history. What is she doing? Finishing a master's in social work so that she can actually become engaged in that ministry. She's known that for 15 years. Those are your motivations. And you've got to go with your flow. Go with the motivations. Second set of gifts God gives us is the charismatic gifts we talked about this afternoon. There's 9 of them. They're supernatural, they're amazing, they're wonderful, and they make Christianity a lot of fun. And then there's the ministry gifts in Ephesians 4:11. What are the benefits Paul's talking about? Well, let's think. Going to heaven would be a good benefit, not going to hell. An assurance that God loves you regardless of how stupid you might be yesterday or today or tomorrow. So, do you ever have a stupid day? I had a stupid day yesterday. So, it was like the spirit of stupid got loose in my life. And everything I did was like, what'd you do that for? That was dumb. God still loved me. Other benefits. Total forgiveness for everything, past, present, and future. God accepts you regardless of how you're doing. And you have a personal, in-depth relationship with the living God. And so many more benefits. And can I suggest you live well below your potential? We haven't even tapped into the benefits God has given to us. We haven't even begun to understand the depth of all that we were given when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. That's why Paul says, there's no end to what has happened in you. In other words, these benefits continue to reveal themselves and continue to work in your life. So every day as you walk with God, you should be changing. Things should be adjusting. The relationship with God is getting deeper. You're loving people more than you loved them yesterday. There's no end to this. When you're born again, you begin the journey. Many people get born again and they stop and they never go anywhere. I think when you reach heaven, you'll still continue to grow. I think it would be boring to always be the same. I think if walking with God brings change, because God doesn't change, so somebody's going to, it's you, then when you're in heaven walking with God, change will continue. So we know more and more about him as we walk with him. We know him better and better as we journey with him. And a direct result of knowing him on a deeper level is we come to know ourselves. We need to know who we are in Jesus Christ. We need to know what it is he's asking us to do today with the rest of our lives. We need to understand his plan and his purpose for our lives. So we're going to get to discover more about us as we discover more about him. What is it God's doing in your life? You know, I get asked that a lot. People want to know, well, so what's God doing right now in your life? Sometimes that's hard to tell people because I'm not quite sure. I know things are changing and I know I'm not feeling like I used to feel. And that's why Paul says it's beyond speech. It's hard to grab hold of. It's hard to tell other people right away. Maybe 3 months later when you really got an understanding of it. And then he says it's beyond knowledge. I just don't know sometimes. But I know God's working. And there's no end, he says, to what has happened in you. So keep walking, keep digging, keep discovering. Too many Christians, and we talked about this last week, have destination disease. They think they've arrived. You never arrive. You're on a journey, and it has no destination except heaven. And then I think the journey continues anyway, but that's my opinion. So if you're just sitting, because you got it, you got your ticket out of hell, you missed the point. The point was, we all keep growing and changing as we get to know him better. And we do that together, because sometimes you annoy me. I have a lady in my church. I've talked about her before. I've been praying for her that God would move her to a different church. But so far, it hasn't happened. And God said to me one day, you know, she's my gift to you. And I said, thanks, no more gifts. What do you mean she's my gift from you? And he said, she's going to teach you how to love. Thanks. She's still there. I'm still learning. The person that rubs you the wrong way is God's gift so that you'll come to know you better. And then Paul went on to say this, and this is the part that really can upset us. The evidence of Christ, the evidence that you were born again and that you're on a journey with Jesus has been clearly verified in your lives. Wow. So not only are you going to go into your world as we gather to be equipped and scatter you to tell others the night and day difference Jesus has made, but they're going to notice the night and day difference he has made in your life. You're more loving. You're more joyful. There's one that would help. Why is it Christians look like they got baptized in lemon juice? Why? Why is it that we were happy and fun, and then we got saved, and now all we got is problems? And that's all we talk about. We'd be more peaceful. Why is it we worry? Come on, we sing the songs. Jesus has got everything in his hands. He can take all these broken pieces, put them all together. We're going to be more patient. Some of you pray that. Lord, make me patient, but hurry. Paul is saying to the Christians in Corinth, there is absolutely no doubt that you have been born again and you're following Jesus. People can look at your lives and see how they've changed since you met Jesus, and it can be clearly verified. When I first got saved, which was just after Noah's Ark ended up on Mount Ararat, there was a saying that went around, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Good question. Clearly verified. Now, none of us are perfect. Anybody perfect? Almost? We're all on a journey. But you've come a long way, baby. And they see the difference in your life. Or they should. Then Paul went on to write, you don't need a thing. Isn't that true? I mean, how many pairs of pants do you need, guys? You know, you only wear one pair at a time. You don't need a thing. You got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. So what he's saying is individually, and as a church, we have what we need to live according to God's plan for our life. So God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a plan and a purpose for the church. And we're not missing whatever it's going to take to fulfill that plan and purpose. You may not have grabbed it, but it's right in front of you if you just pick it up and go for it. So Peter says in his letter, his divine power has granted to us, circle the word all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we know what those are through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So the more we know him, the more we walk with him, the more we work with him, the more we'll know what it is he's given to us, and then we can unwrap all these things. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God living in us. Now, any church that doesn't believe in being born again can't say that. They may have God there, God hoping that they're going to get saved, but people who are born again have God, the Holy Spirit, all of God, living inside of us. And he's working all the time with us, in us, through us. And I listed some things, I think, there in your printout. He's convicted us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and would continue to do that, by the way. But he led you to salvation. He brought us to the new birth, because we were born again of the Spirit. He lives inside us. He sealed us with God's stamp of approval and ownership. You have God's good housekeeping seal of approval. Remember that ad? He baptizes us into the body of Christ. He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit with power. He controls our life if we let him. He leads us and guides us daily in the details of our life. He gives us 9 supernatural gifts we talked about this afternoon to use in ministering to the lost. And he places in us the very character and nature of God himself. We know that is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, etc. We don't like the etc. because it includes long-suffering, endurance. So we have it all. I'm not waiting for something more. We got it all. I am waiting expectantly for Jesus to return. I hope you are. I expect the Holy Spirit to continue to work in us as he leads and guides us individually and as a church. Okay, next thing Paul said was God himself is right alongside. Isn't that nice to know? To keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. He's walking along beside us. So even on a bad day, you should hear him saying, steady as you go, steady as you go. He's right here. The psalmist said, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when, circle that word, he delights in his way. So there's no fear if you miss him or the plan that he has for your life or our life as a church, because even if we miss it, he'll have a detour created up front here somewhere ahead of us so we can get back on track, because he's always with us, keeping us steady and on track. I have screwed this thing up so often in my Christian walk. Can I say screwed this up? Is that okay? Screwed this up. And every time as I've looked back, God was creating detours to get me back on the highway where I was supposed to be. So quit worrying about, what if I make a mistake? You will. Just keep going. Because God's got detours all over the place to get you back in the center of his will and his plan for your life. And then it says, oh, God has got you started in this spiritual adventure. Let me ask you, just underline, spiritual adventure. It's a journey. He's got you started on this, and he'll see it to completion. Listen, he initiated this whole thing. While you were still a sinner, God sent his son. He initiated this thing. And you responded to what he initiated. And you got saved. So what God got you started in, being born again, it's a spiritual adventure. It's a journey, not a destination. And when you got born again, it was the beginning, not the end. It was the start of it. And may I suggest to you that if your journey is not an adventure, then you're not walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus is an adventure. It's exciting. It's different. So if your Christian experience, your church experience, is boring and dry, that's a warning sign that something needs to be adjusted or changed in your life. Because a walk with Jesus should never be boring, and it should never be dry. Walking with God is an amazing adventure. Okay, two more things Paul writes. He shares with us the life of his Son and our Master, Jesus. In the Bible, it says in John chapter 1, verse 4, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. I've taught this 5 times here, I'm sure. The thing that was the light of men wasn't Jesus. It was the life of God in Jesus. In him, Jesus, was life. The Zoe, the very life and nature of God. And that life was the light of men. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, looking at his followers, his disciples, he said, you are the light of the world. Well, in reality, you don't shine very bright in the darkness. But the life of God in us shines and is the light. Does that make sense? Okay, so then let's go back and read the green print. He shares with us the life of his Son. So it's here. It's in us. We just got to learn how to let it out. Let it shine. And you may think, oh, I got so many problems and I got so many character faults and there's just so much in me that needs fixing. Relax. You are a cracked vessel, Paul said. You're not a perfect vessel. You're like a cracked flower pot. And if you put a light in a cracked flower pot, the only place the light shines out is through the cracks. So the life of God will flow out of you even through the cracks in your personality, in your character. So if you're waiting till you're perfect, it ain't gonna happen. Not on this earth, anyways. The only way that that life of his Son is in us is if we have made Jesus Lord. I know the version says Master, but the other word for it is Lord, and I have no problem with either word. You cannot have Jesus as your Savior unless you've made him your Lord. Because in the Bible, you can't separate the two. So he has to be in control of your life, and then the life of Jesus will come forth. But if you still control your life, if you still plan your whole life for yourself, if it's your will being done on earth as it wished it was in heaven, then there will be no life. So the life of Jesus is in us if we have made him Lord of everything. And then last but not least, Paul says he will never give up on you. Never forget that. He will never give up on you. Don't forget that. He will never give up on you. You might give up on you, but God will never give up on you. Never forget that. He's on your side. He's all for you, and he never gives up on you. Wow. In other words, you can't do anything that will cause him to look at you and say, you know, you're a lost cause. We've done this 10 times already. When are you ever going to learn this thing, stupid? Get out of my life. We may do that to each other, which we shouldn't, but God never does that. I don't care how many times you fall down or how many times you made the same decision and then didn't do it, God never gives up on us. And so even as a local church, as we begin to walk out some new things in our new home, God will never give up on. Will we get it all right? Well, I'd like to think we would. But I doubt it. Okay, so now flip back to the first panel. Let's just reread the whole thing again. Paul, have been called and sent by Jesus the Messiah, according to God's plan, along with my friend, Sosthenes, I send this letter to you in God's church at Corinth. Christians, cleaned up by Jesus and set apart for a God-filled life. I include in my greeting all who call out to Jesus, that's us, wherever they live. He's their master as well as ours. May all the gifts and benefits that come from God our Father and the Master, Jesus Christ, be yours. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. Just think, you don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master Jesus. And God will never give up on you. Never forget that. So, last comment. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, see it as the next step in a never-ending journey with Jesus. Wherever you are currently, whatever you're facing currently or going through, just remember, this too shall pass. You'll soon find yourself in another season. It will have its own challenges, and even that soon will pass. And then there'll be another season, another step on your journey. You have a God-filled life, and you have everything that pertains unto life and to godliness. And sometimes, like Moses, I cry out, maybe you don't, but I do. I think, oh Lord, how long do we have to put up with this nonsense? Just as long as God plans. He knows what's best for us, and he never gives up. And you're just going to go from one season to the next to the next. So you may be having a problem in your life, but it'll soon end. And there'll be another challenge, another problem, another issue. It's all built to help you to become more like Jesus and to help the church do what the church was called to do. So, we are in a new building. That's a step of faith. We took a step of faith, a very large leap of faith, numerous years ago. But folks, it's just one step. We have not arrived. This is not a destination. Even when it's totally finished and all the baseboards are on and everything's up and functioning, this is not a destination. This is simply a small, although important step on a journey that we're on as a faith community in this whole area. We have a calling on our lives as a local church, just like Corinth did. We have a mandate. That means job or a task to fulfill. That's why God got us here. We have a vision to see the youth of the whole region won to Jesus. Please note, we don't have any youth, barely anyways. And we have a uniqueness that God will use to impact our community, because every church is unique. We've taken a step, but it's one step of many. And tomorrow, we begin the next step, whatever that may be. Because God has a plan for New Hope. I think I know what some of it is. I know that some of you think you know what some of it is. And together we will discover what it is. And we will fulfill it. Because God will never leave us. He didn't bring us this far just to leave us here. Amen? So I see this, and I'm excited about the building. I see this as one step in a spiritual adventure that's just beginning, and the potential is amazing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you that this is a spiritual adventure, that you began it in our lives. You began it in this church many decades ago. And you have brought us one more step in the journey, but there's still many more steps to take. We took a leap of faith, Father, and you met us, and you held us, and you encouraged us when we needed encouraging. You've supplied our needs. We ask that you would speak loudly to each one of us about the next step, and then the next step, and the next step, and give us courage to take the next step of faith that's needed. If needed, increase our faith. Help us to have vision bigger than ourselves, bigger than this building, bigger than this town. Help us to see the kingdom and our part in the kingdom as this gospel of the kingdom goes to all the nations. So I pray that you would bless this place, your presence would be here, the power would rest here, people would get healed here, they'd get delivered here, they would get set free, they would find salvation, they would be equipped, and they would be sent out to tell the world the night and day difference that you, Jesus, have made in their lives. Help us to line our walk and our talk up so that we are people of integrity, people who, when others look at us, will know that we have the life of God in us and it's flowing through us and touching them, that it would be a light to the world in their spiritual darkness. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.